scratch about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Okay, I've got a really good horror story, and it's particularly terrifying because it's true.
Oh, a true story.
In countries all over the world, including our own, children, many of them just like you, are abducted and sold into the world of underground sex trafficking.
Oh, okay. I'm going to stop you there, Danny boy. That is a scary story. Story time is over.
I sort of have a boner.
You know, if you mess with the bull, go for the gold.
That is solid.
The annual Quahog Star Trek convention, where once a year, sci-fi buffs take their lips off the barrel of a loaded gun and spend half a day adjusting their eyes to sunlight. And now...
Best part of waking up is with two girls and one cup.
Our feature presentation.
Or as we so frequently say, don't ever look at that video, no matter how much you want to.
Oh, dear God, no.
Hey, party people, welcome into an all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Thursday. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Bean.
Hey, Ralph Garman in the whale's vagina. How are you, my friend?
Ah, I couldn't be more vagina'd.
Are you so happy? Do you feel like you've just woken up on Christmas morning now that Comic-Con 2011 is underway?
No, it's better than that. It's like landing in the newly retired space shuttle on a planet that is just filled with gumdrop mountains and chocolate waterfalls. It's just the best place on Earth.
What is the actual kickoff event? Is there an official ribbon cutting and an opening to begin Comic-Con?
We're late. We're way behind. It started yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's preview day yesterday. When if you spend a little extra cash when you buy your tickets, you're allowed to go in and look around the floor early. So the town is filled. Everybody's here. The streets are packed. I had a hard time getting to my hotel last night because everybody is already just streaming into the intersections and just partying, having a blast, and it is in full throttle right now.
I was telling somebody yesterday about Comic-Con, who, by the way, and this shocked me, this is a friend of mine, who had never, wait for it, heard of Comic-Con.
Oh, stop it.
Yes.
Well, if it's a friend of yours, I can understand it.
Yeah.
I was frankly surprised by that, and I said, everywhere you walk, it's Times Square on New Year's Eve, and they just couldn't get their head around the fact that there's an event that they've never heard of that's that popular.
It is monstrous. They're expecting about 200,000 people here this weekend. In one, couple square miles.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty crazy. Well, we got, obviously, tons of Comic-Con stuff to tell you about today. Ralph has lots of special guests on location, and the whole show will be down there tomorrow. We'll have plenty more to bring you as well. First, though, I want to start with this story. This is new, and this caught my attention because James Franco is a part of this. And, he's an odd duck, that Franco. He's got himself, he's got his fingers in a lot of wacky stuff. You've seen some of the art, quote unquote, that he does, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have.
Well, now he's a part of something called the Museum of Non-Visible Art. Now, I know this is going to sound like an Onion story, but this is a real thing. The Museum of Non-Visible Art, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what it says from their website. It's an extravaganza of imagination, a museum that reminds us that we live in two worlds, the physical world of sight and the non-visible world of thought.
Ugh.
Composed entirely of ideas, the non-visible museum redefines the concept of what is real. Although the artworks themselves are not visible, the descriptions open our eyes to a parallel world built of images and words. The world is not visible, but it is real, perhaps more real than the world of matter. And here's your favorite part, it is also for sale.
Oh, sweet. I'm going to go down and buy me some ideas to hang on the wall in my living room.
Well, you could, because they are selling invisible artwork. So here's the story that I saw. This is a piece described like this. The air you are purchasing is like buying an endless tank of oxygen. No matter where you are, you always have the ability to take a breath of the most delicious, clean-smelling air that the earth can produce. Every breath you take gives you endless peace and health. This artwork is something to carry with you because you own it. Because wherever you are, you can imagine yourself getting the most beautiful taste of air that's from the mountaintops or fields or from the oceanside. It's an endless supply. So this went up for sale. And what you get when you buy it is a card that you hang on an empty wall. Uh-huh. And then you describe it to your audience.
Ah, I see.
What did that go for?
What, What might you pay for an item like that, Lisa? If you were Amy Davidson, how much might you pay for invisible air from the Museum of Non-Visible Art?
I was going to say, you know, for a joke, I'd pay $10.
$10? I bet that's more than Ralph would pay.
Well, I don't know. For fresh air from the mountaintops and from the fields? Let's say I'm in El Segundo, for example. I would like to have a nice gulp of fresh mountain air if I was there, and it'd be nice to have that at the ready. I would pay $100 for that.
$100? Well, yes. You both would have been outbid, I'm sorry to say, by Miss Davidson, who in fact paid $10,000.
Oh, come on.
Seriously?
For the air that she can now carry around that, of course, is invisible, as are all air is, except for in El Segundo. So $10,000 is how much she paid. And she said, as a new media producer, I identified with the ideology of the project and was particularly inspired by the sentence, we exchange ideas and dreams as currency in the new economy.
She's got too much goddamn money.
Seriously.
Well, she might. So everybody is not like us, I think, is the lesson to take away from that. But
I'll tell you, I'm getting into the visible art business, that's for sure.
He certainly should. I think it's a bargain at $10,000. I think they should have asked for $50,000.
If it's $10,000 for air, what can I get for love?
I will give you
all the love I have to give.
Think of all the people who are out there just pouring their heart and soul and blood and sweat and guts and tears into making artwork that somebody might buy on, you know, Etsy or eBay for $250. And then this guy comes along and sells freaking air for $10,000.
You know, you're laughing, but when there's no more air and Amy's walking around just breathing in and breathing out, who's going to be the fool then? You.
She could be the last person living on Earth because the rest of us will have asphyxiated.
Yes.
So that's good times. All right, let's turn our attention to an all-new Kevin and Bean show today.
Listen, I've got to give a clue here now. I don't want any more bullshit any time during the day from anyone. That includes me.
All right, I think that's an excellent motto. Thank you very much for that. What about, I don't know, since we're at Comic-Con, what about a young actor who's up and coming, who's involved in a couple of very interesting projects named William Shatner, I think, is going to be joining us on the program today?
How does Shatner walk around down here this weekend? How does that happen?
I was wondering the exact same thing. It'd be like George Lucas walking around.
Yeah.
I mean, people would just faint in front of you, right?
They'd have to put him in the Pope-mobile with one of those plexiglass bubbles so he doesn't get just attacked and pulled apart.
Well, we'll have a chance to ask him that. What is he at Comic-Con? He's doing something called the Captain's Panel. What's that about, Ralph?
Shatner has done a documentary series. I think it's a DVD, actually, where he sits down with all of the captains of the different ships from all the Star Trek projects. That's Deep Space Nine and Voyager and Enterprise, Next Generation. He has a chance to interview each of the captains. So it is the original captain talking to all the captains in the lore of Star Trek, and he does it in the style that he does his talk show, Raw Nerve, where he sits down and gets to know them and talks about the phenomenon that is Star Trek as well as their lives. And apparently it's brilliant.
It sounds great. I'm looking forward to that. Talking to him today on the program. Also, G4, of course, is broadcasting all weekend long from Comic-Con in San Diego. We'll have our friend Chris Hardwick on site down there. Your buddy from Family Guy, Seth Green, is going to be stopping by. The multiple Emmy-nominated Seth Green will be there talking about Robot Chicken and Family Guy. And I guess they both have panels at the convention. Is that right?
Yeah, he's down here for Family Guy. Adam West is also doing the Family Guy panel, and he's doing Robot Chicken with our buddy Brecken Meyer, who was just in.
Sarah Shahi is going to be on location. From Fairly Legal, which doesn't seem necessarily like it has a Comic-Con edge, but oh well.
Yeah, matters. What are you going to do?
Hey, look, Glee has a panel here this weekend.
I know. Yeah, it's so
anything
odd.
Goes.
That doesn't make much sense either. Also, we came very, very close yesterday to having the NFL lockout ended.
Oh, I know.
Apparently, everything except for the players voting has happened, as I understand it. And we're going to get the very latest on that from our friend Matt Money Smith from the nationally syndicated Petros Money Sports Radio Show. And let me see. Jeff Boucher is going to be joining us today from the Los Angeles Times. He'll have a complete overview of what's going on down at Comic-Con, too, if you are planning on joining us today or tomorrow or anytime throughout the weekend. So we definitely have you covered. All of that. Plus, Ralph's got the show. Showbiz Beat when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show after this. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show for a Thursday. Ralph live in San Diego. Ralph, can people stop by if they're driving perhaps to Comic-Con right now? They want to come by and shake your hand and buy you a drink.
They can't. I wish they'd buy me a drink. They can come by. There's not a lot of room here where we're broadcasting from. So you might want to come by and say hi and then get the hell out. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
All right.
All right. And you are, again, you're at the Omni Hotel? Do I have
yes.
that right?
The Omni,
Wire Lounge?
Right on L Street. And we're on the sixth floor of the Wired Magazine Lounge, which will be open all weekend long. This is where a lot of the celebrities and media types come up to hang out and have a cocktail and rest in between panels and stuff. It's always a cool scene up here. So they close it off at 11 o'clock, I think, just for people with credentials. But you can get up here this morning if you want to come by and say hi. I'd love to see you.
Fantastic. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Kevin and Bean Show, what you talking about?
Well, it's a great day not only because I'm in San Diego for Comic-Con, but also I get to play one of my favorite games of all time.
Celebrities, they love to party, hopped up. Can they get who's putting down the needle or drying out? It's time for Rehab Roulette.
All right, put your bets down, ladies and gentlemen. Put your bets down. Who's going into rehab this morning? No more bets, please. No more bets. The ball has fallen on Eric Dane from Grey's Anatomy.
Yay!
Eric Dane, better known as McSteamy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww.
Well, apparently he's actually known as McDopey.
Oh.
Because he was doping himself up with an addiction to painkillers.
Wow.
Now, Eric says the addiction came as a result of some painkillers he was taking for a sports injury.
Bean.
I can relate. I know where he's coming from.
Actually got from doing a sport. People Magazine says he'll be back at work later this week. So he's been in rehab, and apparently things are going well, and he plans to get out and score drugs as soon as possible.
He, in addition to Grey's Anatomy, he's the guy, if I recall, Ralph, who had the sex tape with two women where there was no sex in it.
Yes.
It's just them lounging around nude, right?
Him and his lovely wife, Rebecca Gayhart, and some other smoking hot chick. And it was a lot of nudity, but not a lot of actual sex.
Yeah.
Wildly disappointing. Listen, celebrities, if you're going to film yourself having sex, get to the sex part.
Right.
Less of the setup. More of the punchline. R. Kelly's in the hospital. He apparently had an abscess on one of his tonsils.
Ooh.
Needed emergency surgery yesterday on his throat to drain that abscess. He was complaining of severe throat pain after just finishing the U.S. leg of his Love Letter tour. Now, here's the thing. They don't know if there's any way he'll be able to sing again.
Ever?
They don't know how serious the damage is to his throat, but apparently he was really infected, and that was a serious, serious operation they had to perform. So
wow.
We'll have to wait and see how he recovers. That doesn't mean no more trapped in the closet, does it?
That's my fear. Oh. That's terrible.
What's going to happen to Rosie the nosy neighbor?
We may never know.
Oh, that's not acceptable to me. Chris Evans is headed for superstardom with his new role in Captain America, which I saw this week and is awesome. Here's the thing. Captain America, about a scrawny dude who is too sickly and small to be a soldier in the Army during World War II. And then he gets this super soldier serum and he becomes this super buff super soldier, right? That's the premise of the movie. Turns out, life as art, he, when he was a kid, was a scrawny, wimpy kid, he said. He was bullied all the time. He was just 135 pounds at about 6 feet until he hit the age of about 17, 18 years old and he started to fill out. But apparently he was picked on quite a bit, so he knows how it feels.
Aww.
He's a real-life Captain America.
He really is Captain America. I saw him carrying a shield around here the other day. Speaking of Comic-Con, Robert Pattinson will be down here for the Twilight panel. He and his girlfriend Kristen Stewart were seen out this week in Southern California. And this article says he's the perfect boyfriend. I would say he is a suspect boyfriend. They spent the weekend, I'm not kidding you, antiquing and clothes shopping. Word is, apparently, he helped Kristen Stewart pick out some clothes, gave her feedback outside the fitting room, and the two of them spent the remainder of the time laughing and hugging in the clothing store. Yeah, that's a girlfriend. That's not a boyfriend.
That's what I do with my friends in Palm Springs.
Exactly. That is not that's not a boyfriend.
The early coverage on the regular news from Comic-Con, Ralph, has been nothing but shots of people camped out for the Twilight panel. I mean, are there just hundreds of people just sleeping outside day after day waiting for this Twilight thing to happen?
I walked past them on the way to the hotel here for the broadcast this morning. I was out walking, and it looks like a homeless shelter. It's just people sleeping on the grass and under tents and in sleeping bags. They've been there for days now.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane.
You know they can see them in a movie, right? They know that, right? You don't get to sleep with them. They're just going to talk into a microphone for an hour. That's all they're going to do.
Yeah.
Craziness. Shannon Doherty's back. Oh, thank God. Star of 90210 and Charmed is getting her own reality series. The first season of which will end with her wedding to a celebrity photographer named Kurt Iswaranyenko. Now, here's the thing. Will there be a second season? Because her other two marriages lasted. The first one was 5 months to a guy named Ashley Hamilton, and then 9 months to Rick Solomon.
Wow.
So she doesn't have a great track record.
I'm sure this one will be great, though.
Because it's on television.
Yeah.
That's why it counts. And, I wish Kevin was here. It's the perfect day for him. He should be celebrating. Walmart is celebrating the 15th anniversary of South Park. There's a partnership you wouldn't suspect.
No.
Right.
I know Walmart is kind of picky about the stuff they will sell in their store, let alone endorse. And South Park is kind of a
racy show. Friendly.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But they are introducing a snack called Cheesy Poofs, which, of course, is Eric's favorite snack on the show. So you'll be able to buy actual Cheesy Poofs at Walmart.
Did anyone ever sell real Duff beer from The Simpsons?
I believe they did make some. It might have been just promotional. I don't know if they sold it or not, but I've seen cans of Duff. It's good stuff. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. You guys read Doonesbury, the cartoon? Doonesbury?
I have, certainly.
I have seen it, but not regularly.
Funny cartoon. Gary Trudeau, who is the artist and author of that comic strip, he is 63 years old today. Soccer star Brandi Chastain is 43 years old.
Really?
Is that possible? She's the one that took her shirt off?
I believe
she's the one.
Yeah,
World
she's the only
Cup,
soccer
World
player
Cup,
I've
94.
Ever liked. The only soccer player I've ever liked in my life is her. Allie Landry, former Miss Universe, former Dorito girl. Almost Mario Lopez's wife. Or was she? Mm-hmm. Did they get married and then they got divorced because she found out he was banging other girls at the bachelor party?
I think they did.
Yeah, they didn't cover that story in Extra. Robin Williams, comedian, is 60 years old today. Taco. Oh, we got to get some putting on the hits on the show today, don't we? Taco.
Yes, we do.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, he's 55 years old today. Actor Josh Hartnett is 33 years old. Singer Cat Stevens, who's now known as Yusuf Islam. Now is the time! He is 63 years old. And John Lovitz, my buddy John Lovitz, from the John Lovitz Comedy Club. He's 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And that's all right. Stop right there.
Hey! Sublime with Rome on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It is 6:22. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Ralph Garman live in San Diego at Comic-Con. By the way, Chris Hardwick coming down to see you today, right?
Yes, yes.
Whatever with him. Sarah Shahi coming by?
Yeah, Sarah Shahi will be here a little later in the show, and I can't wait. We have a love that's true.
It does seem like there's a little bit of actual flirting going on in both directions. Usually it's just one way where you're a creepy stalker guy, but she seems to like you as much as you like her, which has got to be unsettling for you.
We have quite the Twitter romance, and I'm not quite sure what to make of it, but I'm running with it.
Yeah, you might as well. What the hell? All right, here's the question everybody is asking. Are we going to be hearing this music in a couple of months? Is football going to survive the lockout? I heard there was a lot of good news yesterday. It seemed like they were very, very close to a deal. We wanted to find out more on the subject, so we talked to the man we know, Matt Money Smith, from the Petrus and Money Radio Show on Fox Sports. Hey, Matt, how are you, man?
I am well. How are you? What's happening, Ralph?
I'm down here in the whale's vagina, Money.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
The old whale's vagina. Huh?
That's right.
So, Money...
You know what? Hold on a second, Bean. What is the what's the drink of choice for the Comic-Con crew? I just, like, envision a bar full of people with, like, can you just give me something that looks like blood? Or I don't see them as, like, you know, a nice rye that's neat in a glass or something.
No, it's a lot of Red Bull and blood. Yeah, that is the cocktail.
That's it, man.
Money, do you have any comic book geek in you at all? Is that a phase you ever went through or something you enjoy at all now? Or has it been all sports for you?
You know, for me, it was Star Wars. I was a giant Star Wars dork, you know. I mean, I was totally convinced that I was, you know, the next great Jedi. And somehow, you know, despite having an alcoholic father and a mother that was never around, that I was a descendant of the great Jedi Knight. So outside of that, I think that was the extent of my geekiness.
Hey, look, Anakin and Luke were both orphans too, Money.
See, that's what I was saying, man. I really related to those guys.
Sure, why not?
But I know your boy Petros. Petros is a big comic book geek.
He is. He's huge. I mean, God, the guy's got, you know, Sin City on one shoulder and Ghost Rider on the other. I mean, and anytime you bring up, you know, some sort of comic storyline, he's got it all. I mean, he's got it from the origins to the spinoffs to the nine different characters that got their own comic. Yeah, he's deep.
Well, you find them everywhere. They're not in the shadows anymore. I mean, you can now talk about like that, and Petros can talk about like that, and not be and not have everyone turn their back on him. I mean, now it's, you know, that's the mainstream now, it seems like. Anyway.
Oh, no, I'm the geek not being into it.
Yep.
Right, exactly, yeah. Let's turn our attention to the NBA. I know, excuse me, the NFL. I know yesterday there was a lot of information coming fast and furious, and it's hard to keep track. And everybody, you know, everybody's speaking out on the subject, and you know, everybody claims they know the deal. But what is, to the best of your knowledge, where are we, Matt?
Well, this is, and that's the key that you just said, Bean. You know, everyone's kind of got, they think they know what's happening. Yesterday, about midday, you had ESPN, I'm not trying to take a shot at ESPN here, they had a post on their website that said, deal should be ratified by players in 1 hour. And you flip over to FoxSports.com and it says, players still not agreeing on some key issues. So you have the two biggest sports providers in the industry with completely different storylines based on yesterday. And they didn't sign it yesterday. They're supposed to do today, but I guess there's just a couple little wrinkles they're still not comfortable with. I think the latest thing was global football-related income or something like that. I mean, it's sadly, it's not really something that a lot of people are interested in, but it's you know, it's the headline, it's the storyline, because, you know, what these guys are going to do with the pot that comes from the international fund is what's holding this thing up. And I don't think, look, they figured out how to split up $10 billion. Once that got out of the way, it's just a matter of time. It's, you know what it is? It's kind of like earmarks. That's the portion that we're in, just it, because obviously if they don't get a football reference, they'll get a politics reference on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's basically, these are the little things that everyone's got their own particular issue. Oh, well, you know what? We want to make sure the rookies are taken care of, or we want to make sure the veteran minimum is higher, or we want to make sure that, you know, you can only get franchise tagged once. So it's kind of like, you know, it's one man, one vote. So even though you've got Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, who are on the front end of this lawsuit about franchise tags, they still have the exact same pull in the NFL union as, you know, the second, you know, the fifth string offensive guard. So everyone wants to make sure that their particular issue has been, you know, figured out the right way. And that's kind of what's holding this thing up right now.
Well, you know, Money, I know a lot of people were talking about the rookie money, that the owners were tired of paying exorbitant prices to guys who are really untested in the league. What's happening with that?
They got that figured out. I think the way it's going to work, there's going to be two kind of fixed scales. One for picks 1 through 10 in the first round, and just for people that don't know, Ralph, what you're talking about, the guy that got drafted, you know, number one overall, not last year but the year before, is getting paid more money than everyone in the league except Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, and he'd never taken a snap. So the owners were tired of tying up all that money in what essentially is a gamble. You don't know if it's going to pay off, but you're stuck with that guy for, you know, 3-4 years. So what they've done now is very similar to what the NBA did, and you're locked in from picks 1 through 10. You're still going to get a healthy sum. It's just not going to be more than 99% of the league. Same thing goes for picks, you know, 10 through 32 or 11 through 32. And I guess the way they kind of sorted it out is they're still going to make a lot of money and be rewarded for having a productive college career and getting drafted that high. But you're probably talking about 60% of what they were getting before.
I think that based on the way you just described it, though, Money, that sounds fair. I mean, I think that sounds like a reasonable win for everybody.
Yeah, they're both sides are very comfortable with that. Actually, you know, more than anything, they were concerned about years. They just, you know, they wanted to get these guys out of their deal if they're good enough to get that. So you always hear that. Well, you're really playing for your second contract. That's the one you want to get NFL. So they want to get those guys out of that rookie deal and into that second, you know, $120 million contract.
This is the voice of Matt Money Smith from the Petros Money Radio Show. We're talking about the possible end to the NFL lockout today. One of the things that was being talked about a lot at the beginning of the lockout, and I never heard much beyond it once it began, was changing the length of the season. Did that just evaporate? Is that something nobody's really interested in anymore?
Yeah, very. You know, it's funny. Football is the most popular sport in the country. It's the shortest season because, you know, it's only 16 regular season games, and it's, you know, for, you know, just eliminate single game elimination in the postseason. But people, you know, they were surprised, I think, that the public really sided with the players, and that's that this is way too violent of a game. There's too many injuries already. You know, we're hearing about Roger Goodell fining guys and suspending guys for hits that can, you know, not only debilitate somebody, but eventually, you know, the great fear is that someone's going to die out there. It's just too big, too strong, too fast, too violent. And then all of a sudden they want to add two more games. And the deeper you go into the season when you're still playing for something that's on the line, the more risk you're at for injury because you're already beat up and playing beat up. So I think the owners were probably surprised that public sentiment, you know, was with the players, and the idea that, hey, if you're going to play 18 games, That's not going to give them two more game checks. You're going to, you know, you are significantly going to increase their compensation level if you're putting them at what is a significantly increased risk. So they just said, screw it, we're not paying you more. To hell with the two games. It may come back, but I just don't see it. I think they were surprised that people weren't as into it as they figured they would be.
I know the players were even talking about the degree of practices, keeping themselves safe in practices and lessening the intensity of those because they said it's just so physically damaging.
Yeah, that's a big thing for those guys. I mean, when you're in the NFL, you know how to play. You know, you don't need, you know, and that, like they were talking about two-a-days, and this is something Petros brought up yesterday. You know, it's important for college and high school because you're still figuring out how to play the game. Yeah. You know, and you've got to learn how to hit. You've got to learn how not to be a weenie and, you know, accept that violence and get crushed and just get back up and do it again and again and again. In the NFL, they know. You know, they've
well,
got that figured out.
It sounds like you will be stunned if the deal is not done today. Is that a fair statement, Matt?
Well, I mean, today, I think the schedule, you know, that I keep hearing is free agency by this coming week, Monday, Tuesday. You know, it's going to be madness. You know, we're going to cram an entire off season into 2 to 3 days. You know, free agency, think about it. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of guys that could go back to their team, could get to new teams, undrafted free agents, getting all these rookies signed and, you know, and figuring out what the hell they're doing. It's going to be about 6 weeks of football crammed into 2 or 3 days. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, your team could draft, and you got teams that have to get to, you know, by the end of the season, they have to get to, and I hope this doesn't get too convoluted, a 90% salary cap that are $30 million away from that number.
Yeah.
So some of these teams, just because of the way the timing worked out with their own players that were up against contracts, they're going to have to sign like 10, 12 guys to get to these numbers inside of 2 days. It's really going to be – it'll be unique and crazy.
It's a fire sale.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds like it's going to be tough to keep track of. Don't get any tattoos of your favorite players and your favorite teams for the next few months is what it sounds like you're saying to me, Matt. All right. We are out of time. We'll leave it there. But, of course, you can get a lot more if you check into the PMS show all across this great land of ours. Check your local listings. Money, thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate it. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Big couple of days for the program, of course. Ralph is down in San Diego right now for Comic-Con. Kevin and Bean down there live tomorrow at the Omni Hotel. If you want to come on by the Wired Lounge and say hi, got a lot of guests. William Shatner in just a few minutes. The Nerdist himself, Chris Hardwick, coming up. Also, Seth Green is going to be down there. And Ralph, what are you doing to prepare for Sarah Shahi in the last hour of the show?
I've waxed and polished certain parts of my body that will be used at a later time.
I feel like you're going to duck out and take a shower and shave just before she arrives, just so you're looking and smelling your best.
I might need to shower after she arrives.
speaking of the geeks who are inheriting the earth right now, Jeff Boucher on the line from the Los Angeles Times, of course, the LA Times Hero Complex. Jeff, you are, as I understand correctly, a longtime geek who probably suffered in silence back in the day until geekdom became mainstream. Am I right?
Well, that's just hurtful. I mean, I don't know why you would say that. That's exactly right. That's precisely right.
What? Tell me what it was like for you working in the newspaper environment back in the very early 90s and really being the comic book fan that you are.
Oh, I just didn't tell anybody. So, I mean, I was doing different things back then. But, you know, around 2007, 2008, we launched Hero Complex. And so now we get to write about this stuff all the time. But back then I was, you know, covering crime and stuff like that. I just kept it quiet.
Jeff, did you ever think there would come a day in a major metropolitan newspaper where there would be an entire column dedicated to the sweet, sweet world that is geek?
Well, I think we're there.
I know, but it was something we could only dream about years ago.
Oh, I know. You know, and I think what it is, and as you well know, it's, you know, the special effects caught up to the stories that people have always loved. And also you have a generation of filmmakers that are making these movies with a passion. I mean, they grew up and take the stuff seriously, so...
Yeah. You guys are doing a great job at the Times website of covering what's going on at Comic-Con. In fact, I had no idea until I saw the site yesterday, Jeff, that our friend Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine was a comic book geek, too.
Absolutely. I talked to Tom yesterday, and Gerard Way hooked him up with Dark Horse Comics, and he has a comic book coming out, and he's really excited. He grew up as a Marvel kid, and he's getting back in touch with his comic book roots.
How about that? He said, Ralph, that he was obsessed with lived for comic books until he discovered the guitar, and then maybe he put that aside. It sounds like he made the right choice in his case. Anyway.
There's a lot of rock guys, like Jeff mentioned. Gerard Way, of course, has his own comic book, and the System of the Down guys are all into comic books and stuff. So there's a lot of crossover.
Yeah, absolutely. Rob Zombie.
That's right, Zombie too. Are you? You're in San Diego, Jeff. What are your plans? How are you going to spend your weekend?
Well, I'm doing the, like Ralph, I'm doing a bunch of panels. I'm doing the Tintin panel with Steven Spielberg on Friday, so I'm kind of excited about that.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Now, Tintin is finally coming to a big screen movie in America, but this has been a popular character around the world for decades, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Tintin is like soccer. It's popular everywhere except America.
I mean, even for a guy who's been in the business a long time, that's kind of, I mean, that must just really feel good to know that you're the one who's going to be interviewing Steven Spielberg.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, he's never been here before, and that's the great thing. They're going to bring him out, and I think people are going to go crazy when they see him.
How is it possible that Spielberg hasn't been to Comic-Con before?
Yeah, I know. I think, you know, he sent a videotaped message for the last Indiana Jones movie, but he has never been in the building. So I think that you're going to hear sort of a thunderclap when he's in there.
No kidding. All right. Aside from the Twilight fans, who we know have already been, you know, camped out since March or something waiting for this, what is the big, if there is such a thing, there's so many highlights, but if there is such a thing as the big buzz, the must-see panel, what is it this year at Comic-Con?
I would think Game of Thrones or Spider-Man. I think those are the two that, you know, all eyes will be on those. You know, Walking Dead's also really big.
Yeah, you mentioned Spider-Man, Jeff. I happen to be hosting the Sony panel, and I'll be hosting the Amazing Spider-Man chunk. And I've seen some of the footage that Sony plans on showing to the crowd. And I know the teaser trailer's already been leaked on the internet, but there's another bunch of footage we'll be showing. And I'm telling you, I think people are really going to dig it.
I think that's the one. And who's going to be on that panel, by the way? Who is that?
I believe it's Andrew Garfield and a young lady, oh, what's her name? Emma Stone!
Oh, nice. Nice. This year at Comic-Con, of course, is also the return of Sarah Michelle Gellar, who, you know, of course, was there with Buffy the Vampire Slayer a few years ago. And she has really been kind of laying low ahead of starting to talk about this new show, Ringer. What do you know about that, Jeff? Because I'm very excited to see her back on my TV.
Yeah, no, I think that that's one that everybody has circled as well. I mean, she plays a twin who replaces her twin, and then finds herself into a whole new world of Jeopardy and stuff like that. But I don't know much beyond that, but that certainly is one of the new ones that people are looking for. And I think the Haywire with Steven Soderbergh, I think that one's also really, really interesting to see what the revelations are behind it.
Is it too late for them now that the film is already out to be doing much with Harry Potter this year, or is that time passed?
Yeah, you know, they're not here at all. And in fact, if you look at the whole franchise, the only time they were here is Tom Felton showed up last year. But I mean, Radcliffe and Rupert and the rest, they never set foot in Hall H. They're one of the ones that just doesn't really need to show up, just like Christopher Nolan. You know, everybody was talking this year about the absences, but those are two that never really needed Comic-Con.
I'll tell you, well, even if Chris Nolan isn't here, the Batman presence is really strongly felt this time between Adam West, of course, of the original 66 Batman and the Arkham game and everybody talking about the movie. It's just everywhere down here.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, with the stuff that DC Comics is doing in September, relaunching all their stuff.
Yeah.
So Batman's everywhere, just not the Batman that everybody is really most interested in.
That's true.
How dare you? How dare you, sir? Jeff Boucher is on the phone from the Los Angeles Times. So HeroComplex.com is kind of a spinoff of the Times website, and that's where you put all of all the geek stuff, basically. That's what we ought to bookmark if we want to kind of keep up with Comic-Con and stuff related to Comic-Con year-round. Right, Jeff?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's where we put all the science fiction, fantasy, and comic book stuff, graphic novels, and, you know, television, all that stuff. It goes right there.
Fantastic.
It's must reading. It's must reading, Jeff. I got to tell you, it's a great, great site, and I steal from you liberally.
Fantastic. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, have yourself a great time down there. Remember to stop to eat and sleep every once in a while, Jeff. But I hope you have a fantastic weekend, and everybody follows along at HeroComplex.com. And you can follow Jeff on Twitter, of course, as well. And he'll have lots of stuff from down there at Comic-Con as well. Thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Speaking of that band right there, Muse, playing LA Rising, we'll have Dominic Howard, drummer for Muse, in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show on Monday. So be sure to be looking forward to that. It is 6:55. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman on location in San Diego for Comic-Con 2011 and is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
The hotel that I'm staying at here in San Diego, they've got the entire side of the building plastered with a Cowboys and Aliens poster.
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement for that one.
The entire building is just a giant promo for Cowboys and Aliens. So everybody's talking about it. They offered me a room. They said, you can stay in Daniel Craig's crotch if you like. And I said, no, could you move me to a different part of the poster? I'd rather not be looking out over the city and seeing Daniel Craig's crotch, if you don't mind. We're having a special advanced screening of Cowboys and Aliens. If you'd like to attend, I've got two pairs of passes right now to give away. Two pairs of passes to the special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Cowboys and Aliens, directed by Jon Favreau, of course. It comes out next weekend, the 29th. It'll be in theaters everywhere on Friday the 29th, but you'll get to see it before anybody else on the 28th, the night before. If your caller, let me think. Well, Olivia Wilde's in the movie, so let's make it caller 13. See? Because she plays 13 on House. Get it?
How about that?
13 and 14. Callers 13 and 14 right now win a pair of passes to the special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Cowboys and Aliens. While we're talking about all things geek, Daniel Radcliffe has said he'd like to spend another day as Harry Potter. He'd like to return to the franchise in another 50 years, he said. Of course, he wouldn't.
Okay.
Well, he'd be too old to play Harry by then, but he said he'd like to take a crack at Dumbledore. So maybe when they reboot the franchise, he'll come back and play Dumbledore. If he starts growing his beard now, he'll be ready.
Right. I would have laughed at that idea until I realized that the new trend is to reboot every franchise.
Yeah. I heard they're rebooting Captain America, and the movie is not even out yet. It's coming out this weekend.
Oh, thank God.
They're already rebooting it.
I mean, I used to laugh. I mean, like, you know, when they rebooted the Batman franchise, it had been a few years. But now, you know, like, they're rebooting Spider-Man. And it seems like the last one just left theaters. And they're rebooting the whole franchise again. It just seems like everything gets turned over now.
Well, they are now making plans to reboot things as they wrap up. I mean, Warner's has already announced that they're going to do another Batman project after Chris Nolan's done with his take. Whether it's going to be a TV series or movie, no one knows. But they are going back to that character. And someone else will come in and put their spin on it. So
unbelievable.
J.K. Rowling, speaking of Harry Potter, received a very nice gift from Warner Brothers. That's the least they could do, all the money that she's made for them over the years. Apparently, the CEO, Barry Meyer of Warner's, bought her an antique white gold bracelet with 40 huge diamonds in it that apparently is worth millions of dollars. Thank God, because J.K. was hurting for money, so I'm glad she's got something she can pawn if things get tough. Walmart celebrating the 15th anniversary of South Park by introducing a snack called Cheesy Poofs, which if you watch the show at all, you know it's Eric Cartman's favorite snack on the show. It's good because Walmart shoppers all look like Eric Cartman anyway, so it's a perfect tie-in for their fan base. And American Idol, the creator of that show, Simon Cowell, Simon Fuller is the creator of American Idol.
Right.
He is suing Simon Cowell and Fox over the upcoming U.S. version of The X Factor. Apparently, there were conversations between the Simons that Fuller was going to get an executive producer credit on The X Factor and the fee that goes with it, but it isn't happening, and he said there was an agreement, so now he is suing them for untold millions of dollars, and he too needs the cash, so I'm glad it's all working out.
Are these promos working for you for X Factor, these crazy Simon is a God promos that you've been seeing lately around?
No, but I'm still interested.
Kind of turning me off a little bit.
I'll watch. I think... To see him and Paula Abdul back together again alone will be worth the price of admission. So I'm going to definitely tune in for the first couple of episodes, and we'll see what happens then. And Eric Dane, star of Grey's Anatomy, has checked himself into rehab for an addiction to painkillers. He says the addiction came as a result of a sports injury. Yeah, mine too. Yeah, I had drinker's elbow, and I had to take some painkillers for that. apparently it's not helping at all. Today's celebrity birthdays. Doonesbury cartoonist Gary Trudeau is 63 years old today. Former Miss Universe and former Dorito girl Allie Landry is 38. Remember we had Allie Landry at our Halloween party one year as one of the judges for the costume contest?
Yep.
She showed up as like a harem girl or something.
She's unbelievable.
Yeah. My other testicle dropped that night. I remember that. It was very important. Very important for me. Robin Williams is 60 years old. John Levitz turns 54. Taco, the man who gave us Putting on the Ritz, he's 55 years old today. Do we have Putting on the Ritz? Do we have that? Do we have a clip of that?
Did we ask Omar for that, Muggs?
Nope.
Not looking
Maybe next hour.
Yeah. The problem is sometimes we have these conversations among ourselves, and I don't think Omar hears them. I think we might want to include him in the
next hour. He's a very diehard Seacrest fan. He doesn't like to miss a minute of that show.
Josh Hartnett turns 33 years old today. Former Attorney General Janet Reno celebrates her birthday today. I know, that's Bean's pinup girl.
Creepy.
She's 73. And Justin Bartha, star of the successful Hangover films. He is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. It's 7:06. Ralph Garman live at Comic-Con. Chris Hardwick joins him from the Nerdist podcast in just a couple of minutes. And G4. Real quick, Ralph, if folks want to come down, they're on their way to San Diego listing right now. They want to stop by and shake your hand. Where can they stop by and see you?
We're at the Omni Hotel right on L Street here, right near the convention center. And we're on the sixth floor at the Wired Magazine Lounge. That's where we're broadcasting from today and tomorrow. So you're more than welcome to come by. There's not a lot of room here. So just stick your head in, buy me a drink, and then leave.
We were talking earlier about what it must be like. We talked about how Steven Spielberg was going to Comic-Con for the first time. What must it be like to be a guy like William Shatner walking around in San Diego right now? I mean, iconic.
Yeah.
Talk about God. Bill is going to be on the Comic-Con panel talking about his new The Captain's Project this morning at 10:15, and Mr. Shatner joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Bill, how are you, my friend?
Good morning. No, it's tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow, yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I apologize. Okay, it is tomorrow. That's completely my error. I'm so sorry.
And stick your head into that little Wired office and shake heads. I mean, or should they stick their hand in?
any body part will do, Bill.
Bill, have you done Comic-Con before?
I have several times. Last year, I introduced a website called My Outer Space, and we took a helicopter to the aircraft carrier and did a whole party on the aircraft carrier as a means of sticking out from this massive crowd of people who go down to Comic-Con. It is a madhouse. I think that's one of the reasons everybody ends up there, because it's like a gigantic party.
Yeah, I mean, it's become when the Super Bowl comes to your town and everything that springs up that doesn't even have anything to do with football. I mean, that's what Comic-Con has become. Obviously, you've got, you know, hundreds and hundreds of things that has to do with science fiction, television, movies, comics, everything like that. And then all of a sudden, it's just party central as far as you can see after that. Hundreds of thousands of people. How much security does a guy like you need to walk down the street in San Diego?
Platoon. the Special Forces... six, you know, the ones who got Bin Laden,
right.
they take care of me.
Sure.
I wander around. But I'm going to be there tomorrow at a panel which is discussing this documentary I made called The Captains, which is a sort of heartfelt examination of the actors who played the captains in Star Trek. But it's all about them, the human beings, and me, and it's a voyage of discovery, Bean, and it became as a surprise to me. Making this documentary was as much a surprise and joy to me as I hope it will be to the people who watch it.
Now that's really interesting, because, of course, we've talked to you about the project before. I knew that you were working on it, but you talked to them about what it's like to be the captain of the Enterprise and how they feel about the material and also how it affected them personally. Do I have that right?
Yes. More about how what their life is like and what elements are and were in their life, how they achieved that success, why they were cast, and what effect it had on them being part of that enormous franchise called Star Trek. But it's more about the human beings how they live and live their lives, how they led and lived their lives, and the mutuality of all the actors.
Bill, when you were talking to these guys, did you find anything in common between all the captains?
So many things in common. The amount of work they had to do, the effect the work had on their relationships, their belief system, their willingness to go places that very few people go to in terms of work, and it becomes a discovery of the human being who were popular because they played those captains. But it becomes, I do an interview with one of the captains, and it's all done in music. I put a table on Melrose Avenue and have an interview with Chris Pine in front of Paramount. It's a sort of joyful exploration of everybody's lives, and it's getting marvelous reviews.
Oh, I'm so excited. I can't wait to see it. And I'm glad you brought up Chris Pine's name. Of course, he was the most recent captain of the Starship. And in fact, he's the only one of that you talked to who was actually playing Captain Kirk, same character you play. What did he tell you about what it was like for him to walk in your footsteps, recreating that role that you did so famously on television and in movies?
Everybody talked about having to create their own way and make their own statement and be aware that they had to be themselves. And he's a fine young actor, and as against so many of us who fought family to go into show business because everybody thought that it would be no way to lead the rest of your life, Chris was born into the manor. His father, his even other relatives were in show business, so he was to the manor born as different to the rest of us. So it became an interesting contrast to what the rest of us were doing.
Is this a surprise to you, Bill? And this is the voice of the great William Shatner here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The Comic-Con panel is going to be tomorrow at 10:15, where he'll be discussing the captains with your friend Kevin Smith, by the way, Ralph, as the moderator.
All right, Avery Brooks, too, is also going to be there, right, Bill?
Exactly. Avery did the music. I asked Avery to do the music to the film, and he did a wonderful job, and he's going to be there as well.
Nice. Is it a surprise to you, Bill? And, of course, you've done so many different things over the years with your writing, with your directing, with your own music. How much you seem to really enjoy doing an interview show. Of course, I watch your Aftermath. I watch your Raw Nerve. You're so, so good as an interviewer. Is that something that you always have been interested in, or is it kind of a surprise to you that it's as effective as it is?
It is a surprise. It's the result of a lifetime of curiosity. I'm curious about people. I'm curious about things. And if I'm able to cull something from another human being that they themselves might not have thought of, that they were feeling or had the experience they've long since forgotten, it's a source of joy for me. I'm vitally interested in people, and so those shows, Aftermath and Raw Nerve, which are on the Bio Channel, are successful because the people I'm interviewing recognize that I'm there to get something out of their spirit and not something tabloid. I don't want to harm them. And the same way with the people I did the captains with. I was there to discover them, not to do something exploitive.
What could you tell me about the availability of the captains? It's not premiering on a conventional channel maybe that we would expect.
Exactly. Let me tell you about that. It's premiering on Epix Television. That's a cable company. And it's available as something, a cable that you get with a package like HBO. And so Epix is making a big push this week. We're premiering it on Epix on Friday at 8 o'clock, I think, on Epix Television. So you can see it there, epixd.com is the other place you can see it. It's a little shaky where you can find it on Epix, but Epix is a coming force, and they want you to know that they're a cable company with lots of things to offer, and I think that's they're doing a big Shatner push so that they can publicize themselves, and I'm very grateful that they're showing the captains and publicizing it at Comic-Con.
Ralph, we're exhausted doing this job. Mr. Shatner is 80 and is doing more in a day than you and I do in a month. How do you explain that?
He's got more jobs than anybody in show business.
Well, you do. You make Dr. Drew look like a slacker.
In the future, I have in a couple of months, in October, I've got a record and a book coming out, and you and I will talk about that. The record is going to be unbelievable, and the book is amusing and an interesting read.
I can't wait. EpixHD.com if you want to see the captains.
EpixHD.com, that's it.
And if you're lucky enough to be going down to Comic-Con, be sure to look for Bill on stage tomorrow at 10:15 with Kevin Smith. Bill, you're the best, man. Always great to have you on the show. Thank you.
Bye-bye,
sir. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. The beautiful Sarah Shahi joins us later on. Also, the very beautiful Seth Green will be here. And the equally attractive Chris Hardwick, the Nerdist himself, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Kevin and Bean Show with Ralph in San Diego.
Morning.
Yeah, we're hanging out. Now the party's started. Hardwick in the hizzy.
Guys, I didn't get any sleep last night, though. The people in the room next door all night long
Ah, they're in Comic-Con mode, yeah. Which is Nerd Vegas mode.
You're playing a vigorous game of Dungeons and Dragons next to you.
I hope their horrible Wookiee suits give them irritating crotch sores all day, and they get the poop sweats. That
swamp ass.
Yes. So
Hard looks like a young Shatner. You know how much work he's doing? You know what he thinks? Not only has he got Nerdist, which is one of the best podcasts available on the internet. You should definitely check it out.
And how big is that? Let me stop you right there, Ralph. How big is the Nerdist podcast? Because people might be surprised by these numbers.
You want to know the numbers? I think we do. We do 150 to 170,000 per episode.
You're top 10 on iTunes all the time. You're always in the top
10. Yeah, all the time.
It's pretty crazy. I think it's more. I think it might be more than people that watch Web Soup. Listen to my podcast.
He's got the Web Soup on G4. He's got Comic Con. He's doing like 47 panels. He's the minister of comedy over there on the BBC America. He does everything. He leaves no jobs for the rest of us.
I hate free time. Who wants to be left alone with their thoughts? Assessing themselves.
Speaking of parties, by the way, your beautiful co-star, Allison Hayslip, co-star, I should have said colleague, from the G4, was tweeting last night at like midnight or something that she was waiting for your arrival at a party. And I was thinking, what kind of a schedule are you people keeping down there?
I don't know how I'm alive. It took 4.5 hours to get to Comic-Con yesterday, and then I was going to go to sleep, and then Allison was like, come to this thing. And then I just didn't want to be the guy who was like, get off my lawn. You know, so I met her and at this party.
You're trying to keep up the illusion of youth.
Yes,
so you
exactly.
went to the party? Is that what
exactly.
you're saying?
I have to take all these pills that keep me young.
Still getting your blood cleansed?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to give you guys a chance to geek out about something the two of you in San Diego have in common. Because, Chris, is this true that one of your two Nerdist podcasts that you're doing on Saturday night, you will be welcoming Matt Smith and Karen Gillan from Doctor Who on the podcast?
Karen Gillan, by the way.
Yes. Sorry, yes. Gillan.
Get okay. it right, non-geek boy.
What is? Tell me about that, and how stoked are you?
It's insane. Just because of my relationship with BBC, I've had Matt on a couple times and then Karen on earlier in the year, and they agreed once again to come on the podcast. We're doing a live podcast at a place called 4th and B, and that show sold out, so we added a second one with the Riff Tracks guys. So it's just super nerd. Like, if you told me as a kid, hey, you're going to meet all these people that you would nerd out over.
I'd be hanging out with Doctor Who.
With Doctor Who and, you know, people like Weird Al and the Riff Tracks guy, the Mystery Science Theater guys. I can't even wrap my brain around it. It freaks me out.
What's his life like being Doctor Who? I mean, we talked about what it must be like for Shatner at Comic-Con. It must be, for Matt Smith, everywhere he goes, he must run into crazy Who fans all over the world, right?
Yes, and what's interesting is that his was literally overnight, because he worked a little bit, but then once you put on the Doctor Who power cape, that's a metaphorical cape.
That, he doesn't actually wear a cape.
Cape
not included.
Yes, cape not included. That he became one of the most famous people, you know, in America and Europe all of a sudden, and he takes it in stride. He's a sweet guy. Very nice.
He's a
charming.
Young guy, but he's enormously mature, it seems like.
Yes, yes.
I think that's why he probably pulls off the Doctor Who character so well, because he does seem like an old soul, which, you know, if you know the character at all, he kind of has to be.
He's huggable, and then Karen Gillan, you just want to...
Oh, she's so hot.
You just want to, you know...
Maybe the hottest companion ever. And that's saying
something. I didn't want to say it in those terms.
Because Billy Piper, I used to have a thing for her, and now I'm watching Karen Gillan, and I'm like, oh, forget about it. This is the one right here.
Can I buy a vacation house in you? Like, you just don't want to. You just don't want to.
How much are you going to be on the TV from down there this weekend, Chris?
I don't know how much I'll be on the TV. I'm just moderating a bunch of panels, and then I'm doing a signing at the G4 booth today at 3, and then tomorrow I'm moderating Walking Dead, Big Bang Theory, and Black Dynamite, which is one of
only
my favorite movies.
Only those three.
Tell
me about the kind of person who gets a Chris Hardwick autograph.
Well, first of all, you have to know who Chris Hardwick is.
Right.
And that's
right.
it. That's it.
That narrows the field.
You don't even need a pulse. If you're a corpse, a zombie, I'll sign your rotting flesh. I don't care.
So the people who are asking you for autographs are people who walk by the booth and go, I've seen him on something.
Did I go to college with you? did you date my aunt? It's weird. Yeah, it's very weird. I don't know. Yeah, Comic-Con's interesting because Comic-Con has a way of making people in the geek sphere feel like, oh my God, I think we're really super famous. And then you go to other places and you're like, hi, I'm Chris Hardwick. And they're like, I don't give a crap. And so it's a weird, it's an interesting dynamic.
And this is where you could do a signing and get a big crowd because
exactly.
these are your people.
Exactly. Yeah. But if I just went to Dayton, Ohio, yeah, it probably wouldn't.
Not big in Dayton.
Not so much.
Not huge in Dayton.
No.
All right. Chris Hardwick is sitting next to Ralph Garman live at the Omni Hotel in the Wired Suite if you want to stop on by and say hello.
It's a
if you're
madhouse.
We've got people keeping the crowd back.
People, please.
Gentlemen, this what, sir? You're going to have to stay there where you
I
are.
I know.
In your
it's
seat.
Radio. Calm down.
And Kevin and Bean themselves, I hear, are going to be down at that same location tomorrow if you're in the neighborhood and want to come on by. More with our guests right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, looking ahead toward our Comic-Con coverage tomorrow, Adam Sessler, Chris Hardwick, your friend from G4, is
yes.
going to be stopping on by.
Great.
Also, Eric Balfour is going to be there. He, of course, the star of The New Haven. We've got Adam Rogers, editor of Wired magazine. Aziz Ansari is going to be there from 30 Minutes or Less. And our old friend Kevin Smith joins us for the final hour tomorrow from San Diego. We're looking forward to that.
That is a fine slate.
Yes, we do all right at the Comic-Con. Chris Hardwick is here right now. He, of course, is the Nerdist. He also is with G4. He's hosting a bunch of Comic-Con panels. You know, we were talking to Jeff Boucher from the LA Times last hour about some of the big things that everybody is talking about. What's the buzz you're hearing, Chris, of stuff that people are just a Twitter about?
Well, Cowboys and Aliens, obviously, because it's been – I mean, I was here last year, you know, for the Cowboys and Aliens panel. And so it's interesting, like, that's how much planning, you know, goes into Comic-Con that a year or two. But the same thing happened with Tron Legacy a couple of years ago.
Like, yeah. you they were promoting that a couple of years.
A couple of years before. Yeah. And so it's kind of fun. You see these sort of media babies are born and blossom and then mature. And so finally, you know, we get the premiere of Cowboys and Aliens this year. So
People were talking about some of the things that are missing this year. Like, there's no real Dark Knight Rises presence here this year.
Right.
Harry Potter is, of course, out already, so that's not anywhere around. Is Twilight large?
They're already promoting the one when Harry goes back to play, when Daniel Radcliffe goes back to play Dumbledore in 50 years.
50 years
they're
from
gonna
now.
Start,
they're teasing that.
Start planning
here's
that
the
one.
Teaser trailer they're going to show in Hall H.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing Spider-Man is a big one. I'm lucky enough to do that one tomorrow. Dexter is happening. Dexter's always a big panel. We're doing that one today, which is very cool. I think people are excited.
The Growing Pains panel. You start making up a bunch of stuff that's not going to happen.
Glee's got one this year. I'm not kidding. Glee has a panel this weekend.
That is
okay,
retarded.
Why?
but why? What sense does that make?
I have no idea. I think the complaint of a lot of hardcore geeks is that this has become just an outlet for advertising for anything. It doesn't really even have to pertain to the world of comic books or sci-fi or fantasy.
I can't wait to stop by the Lifetime Television for Women booth.
But I mean,
he still beats me.
Pepper spray and rape kit.
Couldn't you argue that Dexter, and I know Dexter has, you know, the fan base for the books and everything like that, but Dexter's not exactly in the pocket of Comic-Con either, but it's hugely popular down there.
I think he might be, though. I mean, you know, in a weird sort of way, they've tried to market Dexter as sort of a comic book. I mean, he is kind of a there is a comic book hero element to Dexter, I think. So I love that show. And as much
oh,
as
I do too, and I and I'm very excited because I hear he is going to go after Casey Anthony next season, which I think is something we're all looking forward to. So,
yes.
Chris, you mentioned you're doing the Walking Dead panel. Do you have any information on what season two is going to hold from that? I mean, of course, you can go back to the books, but what do you know about the new season?
Well, the TV series doesn't really follow the story in the books too closely, but it's going to be. I haven't seen anything, but I promise awesomeness. I mean, the first season was like, oh, let's try this for 6 episodes, and then instantly, huge hit, stunning show. Frank Darabont is incredible.
Yeah, genius.
And so now they're going to get a little more room to breathe, and I think we're going to get 12 episodes this next season. So I don't know. I'm going to learn as I'm moderating the panel. You guys want some of this?
Oh, where'd that come from?
Well, Ralph, at the break, Ralph was like, jokingly said you guys were playing One Night in Bangkok, and so naturally I have that on my phone.
Of course you do.
Because why wouldn't I?
Because why wouldn't you indeed?
We're spinning our own tunes here in San Diego.
Now, you're the inside guy.
When I was in grade school, I was in chess club, and we used to go play chess tournaments. And that song, One Night in Bangkok, was from the show, the play Chess.
Musical Chess,
and
yes.
That's how I used to get myself psyched up for tournament chess. Was
Are you serious?
I swear to God. I'd be like, yeah, One Night in Bangkok. Yeah, I get my kicks above the waistline, sunshine.
Don't ever tell anyone you were in chess club.
Why not? I'm in Comic-Con. If there's any place that would actually get me laid,
I will totally have sex with a lady with my second place chess trophy.
This is our new feature, Celebrities.
That one has the bishop on it, that's why.
Celebrities tell us the most embarrassing thing they ever did. I think we just kicked off a new segment here. I like it.
Now, you're the inside guy with the Doctor Who, so I need to ask you this question while
we have some time. Yes.
When is it coming back? Because we had the first half of the new season, and then they're taking a break, and I know they're going to start new episodes too. Do you know when we get the
BBC's
the rest
not
of
saying
it?
For sure, but we know that it'll probably be sometime around September.
That's too
sometime
long.
Sometime around September.
I can't wait.
And then we'll get another 7 episodes to sort of wrap up all of the stuff that happened in the first 6.
Oh, outstanding show.
Well, you're going to have a great weekend, I can tell, because you are already either overtired, drunk, or high. And that's how you want to head into a weekend, Chris. It sounds
it's
like
overtired.
You're
I don't sleep.
It sounds like it.
You know that sleep deprivation-induced diarrhea? I live there.
Great. Meet Chris at the G4 booth this afternoon at 3 o'clock to get that
bring
autograph.
Toilet paper.
Put that right on eBay. And, yes, do bring the toilet paper. All right. Great to catch up with you, my friend. Thanks a lot for stopping by today.
I miss you.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ at 7:53. Hey, it's Thursday. I can't tell you too much, but a special treat for Twilight fans coming up after the top of the hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. But I can say no more. Right now, live from San Diego at the Comic-Con, Ralph Garman has the showbiz beat on The Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Let it be the wolf. Let it be the wolf. Let it be the wolf. What was that stab? What was that stab? What was that music there? What was that all about?
That was Beer Mug being bad.
Oh, what a surprise. I am down in San Diego here at the San Diego Comic-Con 2011. It is the greatest place and time of the year. You just can't beat it. Everyone should come down right now. Tickets, no tickets, hotel rooms or not, just show up. I say just storm the castle.
Anyone who shows up without tickets or hotel rooms can just crash and follow you around, right?
That's right. I got plenty of room in my bed, ladies. Wink, wink. Chris Brown is not a good person.
True.
All right, that's just one of my stories. Moving on. No, he is ticking off his neighbors. Apparently, he's not making any friends in his West Hollywood condo community because apparently, according to the neighbors, he blasts loud music all hours of the night. He parks his cars in designated handicap zones.
Oh, that's a dick move.
But the most disturbing part, and I find this the oddest of all his transgressions, he races dogs in the hallways of the condo. He has dog races.
You're kidding.
No. I just imagine some little mechanical rabbit he's got at the end of the hall, and greyhounds running up and down his condo.
What's
anyway,
that a boot?
People are furious. People are furious with Chris Brown's behavior. Not to mention the screams of women all day and night being pelted with fists. That's
right, and all
either.
The ambulances showing up day and night to take his dates away.
Yeah, so they're trying to get him booted, but his legal team says that everything he does is completely within his rights, and he's not moving anywhere. So,
you know, this on the heels of that incident on the Good Morning America a couple of months ago. Remember where he broke a window and everything
trashed the dressing room?
Yeah, I mean, the guy apparently has some sort of entitlement issues or something.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows 2, biggest movie in the world right now, and Lord Voldemort is speaking out. Ralph Fiennes, who plays the character, said the hardest part of the filming was for him was the costume. He said the robe and tights that he wears in the movie were, in his words, an irritating costume to wear. It was too long, and sometimes I would trip over it. I guess that's got to take the menace out of Lord Voldemort when he trips over his own dress and goes stumbling down. He also says the tights kept dropping between my thighs and made it very hard to walk with any kind of dignity. A lot of problems. So his solution was, Rafe says, a garter belt. He would put a garter belt on and clip them onto his tights, and that would keep his tights up.
Okay, this is blowing the whole image now. Come on.
That's why you were wearing the garter belt. It was for the costume, Rafe. Rafe. It's R-A-L-P-H, bitch. It's not Rafe. Trust me.
You should start telling everybody that they have to start calling you Rafe now,
Rafe
too.
Rafe Garman. People at Walmart are celebrating the 15th anniversary of South Park by introducing a new snack in their stores called Cheesy Poofs. This, of course, is Eric Cartman's favorite snack on the show. And just eat them up because they're good and good for you. No, they're not. You'll get fat, but sounds good. I would like to try. Wendy Williams, speaking of fat, she is taking her talk show on the road. Can you believe her talk show is successful enough that she can take it to other cities?
No,
it's unwatchable. I can't believe it's still on the air.
It's popular. People watch it.
I'm stunned by that.
It looks like a cable access show.
Yeah.
She never. She's constantly screwing up. She can't read a teleprompter. It's insane. But she's traveling around the world. She's gone from Miami, Florida to Tampa, all the way through the Carolinas, Missouri, Texas, Alabama, Chicago. Just she's got about 2 months worth of dates where she is traveling all over the world, so you can check her out.
I don't know. I'm not trying to generalize here, but I wonder if there is an African-American female audience that goes, hey, there's no new Oprahs, there's no new Tyras. Who looks like me on television right now? And Wendy Williams is the beneficiary of that.
But she is the least black woman on television. She
and the least talented of the three of them, too.
She sounds like an Italian teased hair girl from Brooklyn or something when she speaks. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And Bruce Springsteen's the boss, but his new statue in Asbury Park, New Jersey, is not going over so well. It's a bust of Bruce, and residents there are calling it, I quote, a monstrosity. Apparently, people say it looks nothing like Springsteen, and to add insult to injury, for some reason, the sculptor put a red bandana around his head and then painted that bandana red. So it's a bronze statue with a big red stripe around his head. Looks like the lead singer for Loverboy, quite frankly.
Now, why would you... Why would, I just brought up the picture, by the way. It looks
awful.
Nothing.
It's a nightmare.
Nothing like Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Who does this look like? It looks more like Ben Kingsley than it does for Springsteen.
It's Gandhi in a headband.
It is the headband. Look, I know that Bruce wore headbands in the 80s, but that's hardly what you want to have as the representation of the man in total.
And not that long. I mean, it wasn't like his signature fashion statement. He's not Bret Michaels, for God's sakes. He briefly in his career did he wear it. So I don't know why they chose that look, but no one is happy with it. Least
this
of all
is
the boss.
This is unbelievable. I love it.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Doonesbury cartoonist Gary Trudeau is 63 years old today. Brandi Chastain, the soccer star, turns 43. Allie Landry is 38. Robin Williams, funny man, is 60 years old. John Lovitz, my buddy from the club he's got there up on City Walk, also from Saturday Night Live, he's 54 years old. Cat Stevens, now Yusuf Islam, is 63. Josh Hartnett's 33. Justin Bartha from The Hangover 1 and 2 is 33 years old. But the reason we celebrate the day, Taco, everybody, Taco.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Putting on the Ritz. There's different types who wear a day coat.
Pants of Rebecca Black of his day.
Coat perfect fits. Putting on the Ritz.
Taco's 55 years old today. Happy birthday, Taco. Don't let Beer Mug eat you.
Hey.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We got a couple of days of broadcasting live from Comic-Con. Ralph is in San Diego right now. Kevin and Bean be down there tomorrow. Big schedule of shows, including, by the way, guests like Seth Green, multiple Emmy-nominated Seth Green, joining us in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, I promised a special treat for Twilight fans. Ladies and gentlemen, Rob Pattinson joins us.
Hello. How are you?
Hi, Rob. How are you, man?
Sullen. I guess
right.
That's the best way to describe
didn't
my
really
personality.
Have to tell us.
But Rob, how can you be sullen when there's so many people here in San Diego camping, literally camping outside the convention center to get in line to see you?
Oh yeah, that's going to be great. I'm sure girls who read comic books and are into sci-fi are really lookers. Yeah, it's much better than the hotties I'm accustomed to. Yeah, I've got a room full of models here at the Beverly Hills Hotel, but I'm going to drive to San Diego to be with a bunch of chicks with, you know, the belly flopping over the 501s talking about Spider-Man.
Wow, that is
paradise.
That's
no
not a
fans.
Win.
No
yeah, they're just out
fans.
Supporting you. They're just they're excited about the new Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2. I guess you're debuting some footage today, right?
Breaking Dawn. Yeah, there's going to be great footage. I'm a diamond-covered, pale, handsome guy.
Right.
I'm a werewolf. Woof.
These are the people who made you a star, though. They provide you
you're
with a lifestyle
vampire.
That you enjoy.
I'm a vampire. I will suck your blood. Rawr.
Remember what you are.
Listen, you're getting mouthy over there. Do you ever get down below the console here and just service all the men?
Because
oh, my God.
I actually don't.
What are you
don't?
Doing
no.
here?
That's amazing I'm still here, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, really.
Shocking.
You should be a little bit more used. These men have got, Ralph and Bean, they've gone through a lot of strife. Even the rabbi over here, what's his name?
It's not a rabbi.
Ale chalice or what's your name?
Beer mug. Yeah, it's beer mug.
All right. Yeah.
Ale chalice.
Mead,
come on.
Mead glass. Mead glass.
No, not mead glass. No.
Apparently, they don't do a lot. You know, it's not easy waking up every morning doing the radio thing. They need a little relaxation every once in a while.
Get up and do the radio thing, too.
Yeah,
there's an accident on the 405. Look at me, everybody.
I don't understand this surly attitude. I don't understand why you're so unhappy. You're one of the biggest movie stars in the world.
You know, because it's, I feel like I'm not I'm going against my optimum trajectory. It's like everybody worships me for being a vampire and for being sullen and having beautiful hair. But I am a musician. That's really what I do at my core.
Well, you say that, and I know that you like to play around with the guitar, but that's not what you're known for.
Hold on just one moment.
What kind of relationship do you have with your guitar, Rob?
Thank you for asking, Ralph. You know, it's my only friend.
It's your only friend. Oh, I didn't realize.
But, I'm a rambler. I'm a loner. I play by my own rules. I wish I didn't have to put up these walls, Lisa. What's your
right.
Lisa, you have it.
I wish I didn't have to put up these walls. I'd let everyone in, but I can't do it because I'm a rambler.
Because you're a rambler.
I didn't get the connection.
You did strong-arm the record company to letting you put a song on the Twilight soundtracks. And I guess you are convinced that you somehow have something to offer musically, right?
That's right. And, you know, it's not difficult to make these songs. It's just how I feel. And I put it through the prism of music.
Okay. Do you have anything?
Are you okay,
about...
Robert? I think I'm having a stroke there a little bit.
Do you have anything?
You know, it's not difficult. It isn't. I just pick up a guitar and it just comes. You know, it is difficult, Linda.
Lisa.
Backdoor action with Nicki Minaj.
All right.
Okay. Let's not talk about that.
That's a big, vast land you got to get around.
Okay. The Twilight Saga Breaking Down Part 1. I guess
Dawn.
There's going to be a
Breaking
filmmaker.
Dawn. Breaking Dawn. Yes. Breaking Dawn.
Classic new action film, Breaking Down.
It's going to be a filmmaker and cast question and answer session at Comic-Con today with you, Rob Pattinson. Have you prepared a song for the occasion or something maybe about the new movie? Anything you can share with us?
That's right. It's what's the name of that movie? Breaking Dawn? It's
Breaking Dawn
Part 2.
Yeah, here it goes. This is a song. And you know, I just wrote it right now. That's what I'm telling you. It's not hard.
Just comes out.
Breaking Dawn is awesome. Rape isn't.
All right, enough.
That's true.
That's
right?
Not even a song.
It's true.
It's
rape's
true.
Bad.
It's just an offensive little ditty. Not even a full song.
Rape's not good.
I'm not saying rape is good. We're saying that wasn't a song.
I'm going to take that strong political stance right now here on the live on the air. It's not.
If you want to be a musician, you're going to have to work a little harder and develop more material, I think, than just that little segment.
I realized this morning when I was getting introspective. Butt plugs aren't that useful. Thank you. Boom.
Okay, what is this? I thought you had some songs that were inspired by the new Twilight movie.
Like, what do they do? He was like, oh, yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of kinky and all, but really, what is it? It's not that helpful.
I don't think that's how they market it, actually, is something that's helpful either, by the way.
It's hard when you're Rob Pattinson because I'm very bohemian. I just want to go out on the streets and perform, but I can't because I'm so beautiful and recognizable.
But you don't perform. You don't have any songs.
I wear a Slipknot mask. I do. I go on the streets dressed like a member of Slipknot.
Rob, let me ask your opinion on something else, another aspect of the huge Twilight fandom. There's going to be another panel at Comic-Con on Saturday, which is going to be people who have written fan fiction. The authors of Twilight fan fiction will be getting up and talking about the stories that they've written, kind of being inspired by and taking the storyline in different directions than the originals.
Oh, yeah. Wrote a song about that one right now.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
There's a panel of all these people writing stuff about movies that I'm in. It's really sad ugly girls have to do stuff like that. Pretty girls don't do stuff like that. They're too busy trying to bag a guy like a Robert Pattinson with lots of money and fame. But girls with pot bellies that wear Birkenstocks will write stupid songs and stupid little scripts and stuff about Twilight. And
God damn it.
By the way,
Why do
I have that stupid flat-chested surly hippie girlfriend? What's her name? Linda?
Kristen Stewart.
Kristen Stewart, come on. Really, I'm Rob Pattinson.
I know.
Why do I have to fake like I'm dating that surly hippie? She kind of looks like Benicio del Toro if it did lots of meth.
All right, we're going to call it today right there, Rob.
She was cute in the Runaways movie. But then she came home and I was like, seriously, I have bigger breasts than you and I'm not very buff. I'm thin.
Yes, you're thin.
Thank you.
Rob, I like the chorus of that one. That was catchy.
Kristen Stewart's not very good.
Okay, have a great time at Comic-Con, Robert.
Pretty good. Ross
all right, thank you for stopping by. We'll see you later.
There was that one rumor about him and the stuff in his stomach. That
yeah,
was
we're not getting
his stomach. Almost destroyed.
We
gotta go. We're out of time.
All right, thank you, Rob. Bye, bye now. Hit the commercial. In San Diego, Ralph Garman is at Comic-Con 2011, joined by our friend Seth Green from the Robot Chicken from Family Guy.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Seth. How are you, man?
I'm really good. How are you?
Hey, Ralph, let's take doing great. Oh, okay. Good to see you. What are you doing? You guys taking pictures now while we're on the air?
Yeah,
is that necessary?
We're taking one. That's what makes it fun, yeah. It's that we're actually
time.
On the air.
Real time.
You can't wait 3 minutes to take a picture?
No, or it won't be in the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I see. It won't count. Seth Green, of course, has got the Adult Swim Robot Chicken panel. That's going to be tomorrow at 3:30. And then there's a Family Guy panel, and that's going to be on Saturday at 2. You must, this time of year, Seth, it's Christmas and New Year's and the 4th of July all rolled into one for you, right?
I like Comic-Con, yeah.
Yeah. Could you please repeat what we were saying earlier during the commercial break about Kevin and Bean and their relationship with Comic-Con?
Thank you, sir. I just laughed because Ralph and I have been coming to this convention as active consumers for 10 to 15 years.
Yes.
And we just, you know, we take a lot of crap for it because it's really nerdy stuff. But what's funny is as the nerdy stuff has become vogue, you get that influx of mainstream people saying, oh, I'm gonna play with toys and go see Captain America.
Yeah.
And we're just like, that's
awesome.
I'm
going to broadcast from Comic-Con, some people say, after they've been giving people a hard time about their love of things.
But in a lot of cases, I've suffered intense slings and arrows from persecuting hordes. And now it's sort of validating because all the stuff I like is I'm able to make money off of it.
Yeah. And Emmy nominations, bitch. And that, too. You throw that in the mix.
Let's talk about that for a second. How many Emmy nominations do you have this year, Seth?
This year we have three.
Three nominations for Emmys, the highest award you can win for television excellence.
That's weird. I'm kind of surprised. I'm still surprised that they even let us into that event, let alone consider us for competition. But I love it. It's pretty amazing.
I know from the very beginning, Robot Chicken was something that amused you and your friends, and you were shocked that it got on television in the first place. But how many seasons in are you now?
We finished our fifth season, which was our 100th episode, which will air at the beginning of the year.
Unbelievable.
And people don't recognize the amount of grueling work that goes into that show. It really is so labor-intensive, the kind of animation you guys do.
We foolishly chose the most difficult and laborious type of animation possible.
Why? Why would you do that to yourselves?
I don't know. We didn't think we were going to make a real show. We didn't think this was a show. We thought this was like a one-time thing, and then it became like a thing that we produce on a regular basis. So it's a lot harder.
But I don't know anything about television or animation, but I'd look at the South Park model and go, hey, you cut out little paper dolls and use those. You can do that in a hurry. That sounds easy.
South Park actually, after the second season, was able to entirely digitize their process. So they took every one of those cut-out paper elements and made like a Photoshop JPEG of them and then was able to animate from there. So they have an easier, more consistent time with their animation.
Even easier than cutting up construction paper.
Way easier than cutting up construction paper.
And you're still moving Migos.
You still have to hand cut out all that construction paper unless you have a computer program that automatically renders it for you. But we are foolishly building everything practically and then photographing it frame by frame.
Craziness.
Like maniacs.
How many people work on a show like Robot Chicken, Seth?
When we are in full swing and have from writers to post, it's about 80 to 90 people.
Unbelievable.
You're a job creator, sir. That's what you are. You're one of the job creators.
I'm the king of trickle down.
Are you the man at this point? Do you ever have to be that guy who has to fire people or give people bad news and stuff like that?
Well, the truth is my partner Matt Senreich and I are, we're very involved in the way that it operates. So at the end of the day, when someone's performing in an unsatisfactory way, we let them know. But the thing about our show is we expect excellence. Anybody that comes to us as an intern that wants to succeed in that industry, we expect their best effort. And if they're not really willing to put forth their best effort, then we kind of don't want them to work there. But we know the jobs are hard, and we love to encourage people and teach them. And if they come to us as an intern and want to learn a trade, we have the highest rate of intern to employee ratio of any studio.
Wow, that's nice. That's the way to get into show business, then, is do a little bit for free, prove yourself, and then you get a job out of it.
I actually
I
don't have any aggregated facts to back up that statement, but I do know that everyone that's interned for us has wound up with a job.
And he gets a lot of free work that way because everybody wants to intern for him when he says that.
Right, exactly.
It's a lot of free work.
What are you going to be doing at the Robot Chicken panel tomorrow? Just sitting around yapping, or is there more to it than that?
Well, I mean, we show some stuff. We put together some visuals and, you know, some fun things that people haven't seen yet. But mostly we like to take the opportunity to answer people's questions. It's rare for people to get to sit with us in a room, and we like to give them the opportunity to ask us anything they want.
What kind of stuff do people want to know about? I mean, I'm sure there are some questions that are asked a lot. What are the average Robot Chicken fan, when they get a moment with Seth Green, what do they want to know?
Let me be on your show. Now, I've got a bunch of brilliant sketch ideas. One where Batman is having sex with Strawberry Shortcake. And then I have to explain, like, the subtle way the governmental parody laws work and what our country allowance is for free speech and why you can't have Strawberry Shortcake just having sex with Batman. That's not really what our show is.
That'd be so cool, though. You should think about it.
People ask that a lot.
I'm sure they do. So you got that Friday, and then Saturday, of course, you're doing The Family Guy, and this is Alex is going to be there. Of course, Alex Borstein, you're going to be there. Adam West, the mayor himself, is going to be there. You got a bunch of people from behind the scenes. Anything special about that panel for folks?
Well, I think the only disappointing thing for some people is that Seth MacFarlane won't be available, but it's because
he's not a big part of Family Guy.
No, he really never.
Since he passed away, the show hasn't been the same.
Oh, you guys are horrible.
Yeah,
no,
that's so shame.
He's been shooting his directorial debut in Boston with Mark Wahlberg and Mila Kunis, actually, and it's a really funny and super cool thing that they're trying to do, and it's just taking a lot of time. So he would be here if he could.
Is that the movie that you're in, Ralph?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Oh, did you do something in that too?
Yeah, I play Wahlberg's father.
Are you serious?
In Flashback, yeah. And Alex is my wife. We're Wahlberg's parents.
Are you serious?
Me and Borstein his parents. Yeah.
I bet that's hilarious.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Did you like Mark?
Oh, well, I didn't work with him because we do it in Flashback.
Oh, he's a kid.
We have a little kid playing him. Yeah.
That's funny.
But I like the bear.
The bear's going to be really... People are not going to know what to do when that comes out. They're not even going to want to take that. It's going to be crazy.
Look, as far as I'm concerned, Seth MacFarlane is an absolute genius. I mean, I can't believe how talented he is in so many different areas and so much crazy stuff that comes out of his brain. And I love everything he's ever been associated with. I can't wait for this movie.
Oh, if he didn't treat women so poorly, he would be a perfect, perfect man.
I know. And he's a racist. But other than that,
he's a violent,
really
abusive racist.
Have you guys seen the cachet of subatomic weapons in his basement?
He's a danger to himself and others.
Yeah, he's been just collecting guns and nuclear armaments.
He's
breaking open
plan.
Glow sticks and scraping out all the plutonium.
Robot Chicken, by the way, on Adult Swim. The Star Wars Episode 3 is out on DVD right now, nominated for 3 big Emmy nominations for the series, including Best Animated Program, Best Short Form, and Best Voiceover Performance, too. So that's a pretty good deal. Seth Green is here. It's Comic-Con from San Diego, and it's The Kevin and Bean Show. We'll return with more right after this. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is live at Comic-Con in San Diego right now. Kevin and Bean tomorrow, including special guest Adam Sessler from G4 will be stopping by. Also, actor Eric Balfour will be there. Adam Rogers from Wired. He's the editor. We will, Seth. Thank you. Aziz Ansari will be on the show tomorrow, and Kevin Smith as well. That's the voice of Seth Green.
Yes.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can. Yeah.
Oh, Eric Balfour and I have known each other since we're teenagers. Say hi to him for me.
Really? What did you guys do as teenagers? Just as friends, you mean?
Just auditioned, yeah. I mean, most kids who are in similar age groups have met each other for several years.
Waiting room after waiting room.
Yeah.
He's in Haven, the show on Sci-Fi. That's what he's coming in for.
Sean Piller, who directs that show, just directed me and Katie Sackhoff in Sexy Evil Genius.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Seth, does this mean you're doing some actual acting coming up?
I got to make a movie over the summer, and I'm actually shooting something else later in the summer, too. It's just it's independent stuff. Sometimes it's really about scheduling, and then most of the time it's about material, just trying to find the right thing.
Well, plus you're the boss now, so why be in somebody else's project when you can be in only your own, right?
Well, I really love acting. It's just about finding something that is both that you want to do and that times out.
Right, exactly. What was this video you were telling Ralph about that you shot yesterday, and where can people see it?
It's on my Twitter feed, actually. I was just on the floor with my brother Sam, and we walked. And Wednesday, which is typically preview night.
I was in there pre-opening,
and it was crowded. It's just funny what it's become, because I've been coming to this con for 15 years, and preview night was something that was only for dealers and only for people that wanted to come up in advance and try and get things before it opened to the general public. And then even the general public days, you maybe had to deal with Saturday being really busy. But now,
everybody's down here. There's thousands and thousands of people. There's a whole tourism element that there never was before. A lot of, you know, just casual fans are coming because they get to see a panel they never could. Spielberg is coming here. So it's grown. And as a result, it's far more difficult to maneuver.
Do you have any bad feelings about that? A lot of the long-timers, hardcore fans feel that it's a disservice to the community because that's going on.
For Spielberg to come?
No. For the fact that, you know...
that it's so crowded and that the core can't really get in?
Yeah, some of the geek people are kind of being pushed out. You know, being marginalized.
I mean, you choose what you want. I don't go to any agency parties or any of the things that have really infiltrated that I'm not interested in. I mostly spend my time on the floor or in hotel rooms communing with other nerds. Talking about
communing,
the things that we
you
love.
Mean?
opening up action figures and playing with them.
Whatever
rubbing,
you want to call it. Whatever
rubbing them
call
across
it,
our
man.
Naked bodies as we try to invoke Cthulhu.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Is it true that there have been stars at Comic-Con who have worn outfits so that they could walk around the floor and enjoy the experience without being recognized?
I mean, I'm sure plenty of people have tried that. I tried that one year in 98 when I was on Buffy and Can't Hardly Wait to Come Out and Austin Powers was on video and all of a sudden I was really famous at this con. I thought, oh, I'll wear a mask like everybody else does and then I'll be able to walk around without getting stopped, and instead I got stopped more because people recognized me in the mask and thought it was so funny that Seth Green was dressed as Spider-Man. And then people were chasing me afterwards because now they were like, oh, Seth Green is here dressed as Spider-Man, so he should be really easy for you to find. And then, of course, I had not thought ahead to bring a change of clothes, and so I was Spider-Man all day, literally running from people.
You were twice the target.
Oh, my God. That's funny. Have you seen Captain America yet, Seth?
No, I haven't seen the movie, and I'm so excited to see it.
Saw it.
Is it great?
That's great.
It's great.
It really is.
Bendis said it's his favorite.
It's great. Yeah. It's really great. It may be one of my favorite. It's right up there with either one or two of comic book movies of all time.
I just love what they're doing. I love the way that Marvel's kind of defining their universe and making each one of the movies individually good. It gives me so much hope for Avengers.
Not to get too geeky, but between DC and Marvel, Marvel's crushing it when it comes to the movies, and DC's struggling.
It's just a different outlook in the way they're executing it, but I could not be more excited that Joss Whedon is writing and directing the Avengers movie.
Yeah.
I really kind of can't wait for that.
No kidding. Hey, now that you have all this capital and all this success with Robot Chicken, for instance, and you've kind of proven that you can run a thing, is there some like Seth MacFarlane's off doing his live action movie, is there some bigger project that you now want to use some of this capital on and go off and do, Seth, that maybe you couldn't have done before?
I mean, I don't know what my ability was to do it before, but I definitely have some unique opportunities now that I want to take advantage of. My partner and I and the writers that we work with, we have other shows and feature stuff that we want to develop.
I've heard you've got a competing talking teddy bear movie in the works. Is that true?
No, but one of our writers wrote a script that's it's like a night in the life script, and it's an opportunity for us to cast everybody that we've worked with. I'm going to direct that. We're hopefully going to make it at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. You've still got my number, right?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. No, I've actually got something handpicked for you.
Yeah, sure you do. Okay. Whatever you say.
The Adult Swim Robot Chicken panel is going to be tomorrow afternoon at 3:30, and then Saturday at 2 is when you'll see Seth talking about Family Guy. Anything else you want us to know about your Comic-Con weekend or how what you'll be doing or how people can interact with you or anything like that, Seth?
Well, I mean, I'm actually pretty easy to spot, and I'm relatively nice. The only thing is, if you see me on the floor, don't sneak a photograph of me. Please just ask me. There's nothing more invasive than looking up and seeing somebody videotaping you with a blank, wide-eyed stare. You know, and it's usually women too. And I always say, you're a woman. You should appreciate how it feels to have someone creepily photographing you at a distance without your knowledge. And yet,
and Seth is on that short list of celebrities, Ralph, you've always talked about. You're not allowed to address him by his first name or look in his eyes, right?
That's right. Yes.
Well, it's kind of like Medusa. If you actually look at me, you'll turn to stone. So
he demands hair green, which I think is odd.
I think it's appropriate.
It's a little sinister.
Yes, just a little sinister
vibe to it.
That's the way it should be. Oh, and hair I should green. Mention, yes. Around 2 o'clock on 5th and J, if you're in town, we're giving out free ice cream from a truck.
Well, that's how to get popular.
That? Hey, little kids. Do you want some ice cream from our truck?
Free ice cream or candy from anyone.
And you have a white van with no windows for the kids to get in, right?
Well, no, it's got a beautiful tapestry on the side. That's the way it's supposed to be.
The child catcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
No kidding. What's up?
I've got a grappling hook on the back. That's what it's for.
You're awesome. Thank you for carving out some time to stop by today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Right. It's the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 8:53. The end of that song, I always feel like somebody's yelling at me. I don't know what the deal is. Will there be an NFL season this fall? We'll go to the expert, Matt Money Smith, from the Petros & Money radio show. He is very closely watching what's going on with the NFL talks, and that's coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. In the meantime, time for the Showbiz Beat Now with Ralph Garman.
Whatever. Whatever.
Oh, you're depressed.
Whatever. Huh. You love football.
I know.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to have Sarah Shahi come by today.
Oh, supposed to. What do you mean supposed to? She'll be there in 10 minutes.
No, she's sick. We just got word she's not well. So instead of being here, I should be at her hotel room taking care of her. I should be feeding her soup and rubbing her feet.
Or whatever.
Whatever body part she needs rubbed.
Is it when she found out that it was just going to be you that she decided she was sick?
How dare you, sir? Dare you, sir? That's what she was looking forward to most. She asked it to be just the two of us. And I put on this tuxedo and I bought these roses and everything for nothing.
Well, that is sad.
It's like being stood up at the prom.
I would like to say that it's awfully strange that our friend Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show and your friend Sarah of the Sarah and Ralph Show both are conveniently quote-unquote sick on the same day, by the way.
Hey, wait a minute. I didn't even think about that.
I'm just saying. What's going on?
All right. Well, let's talk about better news. Like the fact that Paris Hilton was mortified on national television. That was fun to watch. She did an interview on Good Morning America. ABC News sat down with her and asked her some rather pointed questions about her lack of popularity and how she's struggling with her new reality show. Paris didn't take to it too well and apparently walked out of the interview at one point. Here's some of the audio.
Do you worry at times that the people who have followed in your footsteps, like Kim Kardashian, are overshadowing you?
No, not at all.
There's been some talk about the ratings on the show being low. Has that upset you?
No.
Do you ever worry about your moment having passed? You want to wrap up?
What followed was a long, heated conversation with Hilton and her publicist.
Well, I don't want all this being used.
Yeah, I don't want all this being used.
Oh, my God.
I don't want all this truth to be out there about me.
By the way, although every single one of those questions was legitimate and the answer should have been yes to all of them, that is a little more of a hard-hitting interview than most people expect when they're doing a fluff piece on their Oxygen Channel reality show when they go on Good Morning America, I think.
But haven't we served her enough softballs and given her enough fluff to last a lifetime? Isn't it time somebody finally called BS on this career of hers, in quotes, this career?
Yeah, I love it.
I think it's great because she now is just such a – now that she's on the downside – of this this BS career that she has foisted upon the American people. I think it's great that she's getting a little truth.
She told him after she, you know, calmed down after storming off in the interview, hey, I've been in the show business for 15 years, and I constantly reinvent myself.
Yeah.
And I thought, look at all the different ways you do nothing and are annoying.
See, now she's reinvented herself as a bitch who can't take a hard question. That's her new character.
Think you got a raw deal?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, we all do. While we're talking about TV bitches, Shannon Doherty's back in the news. She's getting another reality show as well. Apparently, she's going to have an exclusive series on WeTV. The only shocking part of this story is that there's a network called WeTV. I had no idea such a thing existed. Apparently, the first season is going to end with her marriage to her boyfriend, celebrity photographer Kurt Iswaranenko. Here's the thing. It's her third marriage. She's been married twice before. One to Ashley Hamilton, her first marriage. That lasted 5 months. Second marriage to Rick Solomon. You remember him from the Paris Hilton?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
They were married for 9 months. So this time, it's a keeper.
She's hoping to break a year.
Yeah, if she makes a year, that's a golden wedding anniversary for Shannon Doherty.
They have to renew their vows if they get to the year. Chris Evans is Captain America. The movie opens up this weekend. Everyone here at Comic-Con is very excited about it. It turns out that art imitates life because Captain America is about a scrawny little dude who is too weak and too frail to join the army. Then they give him this serum and becomes a stud. Well, apparently that's the story of Chris Evans' life. He was a 135-pound weakling when he was a teenager. And then he started working out and beef himself up, and now he is a stud who's adored by ladies everywhere. So just goes to show you, guys, keep dreaming, because someday you can be just like Chris Evans. Nope, it's not going to happen. And Daniel Radcliffe wants to return to the Harry Potter world at some point. He said he'd love to star in a remake of the film franchise if they ever do a reboot in another 50 years or so. But he said this time, instead of playing Harry, of course, he'd be way too old, he'd like to take on the role of Dumbledore.
I can't believe this. I mean, how out of questions were they in that interview where they start talking about what he might be doing in 50 years?
Okay, okay. So when you're 71, what would you want to be doing? Okay, what about 72?
Maybe it was, so there's no more Harry Potter, right? No. How about next year? No. How about the year after that? No. And it just kept going.
Forever? What about infinity? Is it infinity years? Today's celebrity birthday is Gary Trudeau. He created Doonesbury, the cartoon. I think it's still going on, isn't it? I don't read the comics much anymore. Brandi Chastain, she was a soccer star. She's 43 years old. She's the one who took her shirt off, so she's the good one. Allie Landry's 38. Robin Williams turned 60. Funny man John Lovitz is 54. Josh Hartnett turns 33. Janet Reno, former Attorney General Janet Reno, is 73 years old. Cat Stevens, singer, now known as Yusuf Islam, is 63.
By the way, he's the guy, and I'll never forget this, they diverted a plane from Europe to America. Remember, he was flying to like Chicago or something like that? They made the plane land in Maine so they could kick him off the plane.
Yes.
Now, look, I don't know a lot about Cat Stevens, but I doubt he's the one that we have to worry about.
What about guitar bombs? Ever heard of guitar bombs? Sure, his guitar was filled with plastic explosives.
Isn't he Mr. Peace? Isn't that his whole deal? Is like he's the gentlest guy in the world, and they stop a plane for him? Come on.
That's how they get you, man. Oh, it's all peace, pot, and micro dot until the fuse is lit.
I gotcha.
Justin Bartha of Hangover is 33 years old, and Taco. Now we're talking a singer.
When you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits?
He's 55 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's the world-famous K-Rock. Thank you very much. Very kind. 106.7.
Not for you.
Oh, nope. Sorry. 106.7 KRQ. It is 928. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, day one of Comic-Con 2011. We're all going to be down there tomorrow broadcasting as well from the Omni. By the way, you just had a couple of Kevin and Bean fans stop by for a picture there, I see, right?
I did, yeah. We had a bunch of people stop by today, dribs and drabs. It's kind of hard because you can't hear the show down here for the local Los Angeles affiliate. The signal doesn't carry this far. So I don't think a lot of people know we're here, but maybe tomorrow.
We are, of course, in the Wired Lounge in the Omni Hotel if you want to stop and by. As we said, we're happy to meet you and say hello if you're in the area, but there's not enough room for an audience to just kind of park yourself and listen. But I am excited about tomorrow for a number of reasons. Of course, we got a great guest lineup. We'll talk about that in a few. Tomorrow, Ralph, is my first ever long dreamt about meeting with my internet girlfriend, the beautiful actress, Rachel Nichols.
Yeah!
See, this is why you're BS. For the longest time, you've talked about your love with Rachel Nichols and how you two love each other and all this great
right?
this relationships you have. You've never even met the woman before?
Not technically, like you would meet a person in real life, but I mean, we certainly have spoken for hours when you add up
you
all the time.
We've spoken for hours.
When you add up.
Talked on the phone.
You've spoken for minutes.
When you add up all of her appearances on the Kevin and Bean Show throughout the year, starting with Alias and when she was in promoting her P2 movie, and she's been in for G.I. Joe, and she was in for Criminal Minds. I mean, she's been on the show a lot over the years.
Then
and, of course, we have the internet love.
I've spoken with her for hours, too, then.
Yeah, well, then we all have. Yeah. We're all dating her.
But she doesn't love you. But here's my point, Ralph. I need to figure out a way to make the conversion. I need to figure out a way to take that love from virtual reality, where it exists now on the internet, and turn it into a real thing that will end up with me marrying her this weekend. And I'm not sure how to do that.
If you're going to meet her for the first time, my advice to you would be send someone else to be you. Hire someone to play you. Because there's no way any good will come from you meeting her in person, being who you are.
What should my opening line be when I see her in person? I mean, this is really my... she already knows and loves me. I have that going for me.
No,
but
she doesn't. She neither knows nor loves you.
When I meet her in person, what should I say to her to win her over? I may need some help on that one. I don't know
I'm sorry.
What the approach is.
Start with I'm sorry for being so effing creepy. And I'm sure I must have wigged you out, but I was just putting on a radio persona. I'm not really a creepy stalker dude.
I'm not a creepy stalker dude at all. I do genuinely love her, and genuinely, Mrs. Bean knows that there's a possibility when I leave for San Diego today, I may not be back. She understands that. She
hopes.
Put on her
possibility. Well, she's hoping that you may go to San Diego.
Maybe that's part of the problem. Listen to what Donna put in her daybook, and I'm not kidding about this. Bean and Rachel Nichols elope. That's what she put in the daybook for tomorrow. Now,
I want that
more than she does, but what am I going to do to take it from, hey, nice to meet you, how about that Conan Barbarian, to, you know, now we're dating? That's what I want to know. That's what I want to help with.
Okay, well, you start by complimenting her. That's the first thing you should do when you see her. Saying, it is really amazing how well you put up with my effing creepiness. You should compliment her with her endless patience with your BS.
But she's so awesome. Look, you have internet love with Sarah Shahi. You know what it's like. You know what it's like to have that opportunity
real.
To convert
it's
into
we
real.
Had
it.
We have a fun experience because we both know that it's not a real romance. We're just having a good time. We're just flirting. See you next time you're on the show. It's based in reality. See, yours is based in some weird, creepy guy behind a wall. The eyes in the painting are moving, sort of dangerous vibe. And it's not good for anyone. It's not good for her. It's not good for you. It's not good for the listener.
It's not good for America.
I think you should recuse yourself from the interview is what you should do.
Oh, right.
Send your regrets.
Here's Kevin and Ralph interviewing the Conan the Barbarian star Rachel Nichols. That's what it ought to be?
That's what it should be.
Oh, I love her so much. I love her so much. I can't believe I'm going to meet her tomorrow. I can't wait. Seriously.
Send that cardboard cutout that we have of you that we use in photos sometimes. Send that, and we'll just cut out the mouth, and I'll get behind it. I'll put my lips through it, and I'll pretend to talk for you.
That's
your best bet. It really is.
When she and I are vacationing on some happened, Dermot? Please stop making that happen. When we're vacationing on some exotic island. All right, never mind. We'll be right back with the Showbiz Beat coming up next. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is live in San Diego at Comic-Con 2011, our final Showbiz Beat. And then, Ralph, I understand you have a very busy day planned ahead of you.
I have a lot of stuff to do. I am hosting a panel for what they call the Aardman Studios, which is the studio that produces all the Wallace and Gromit movies, all the Nick Park clay animation films.
Yeah,
got
nice.
Two amazing projects coming out next year. So I'll be talking about those. And then I will talk about all the new TV shows and some existing shows on Showtime, with the Shameless with William H. Macy. And Dexter, of course, with Michael C. Hall. I get to do that every year. And I'll be talking about Homeland, a new Showtime series that stars Morena Baccarin, who you may remember as the leader of The Visitors in V.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Also in Firefly and Serenity. So, busy day. And then tomorrow, same. I've got Spider-Man and Total Recall and 30 Minutes or Less tomorrow. And then Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon podcast from the House of Blues tomorrow night.
What a weekend. So if you're a Kevin and Bean fan, you're heading to San Diego for Comic-Con this year, be sure to look for Ralph at all those panels, and please stop on by and say hello to us tomorrow as we broadcast live from the Wired Lounge in the Omni Hotel in San Diego. What's going on in the world of showbiz?
I'm here in the lounge as we speak, and as I look out the window, I see across the way a building that is a billboard. The entire hotel has been covered by a giant ad for Cowboys and Aliens. That's how popular this film is, that they put a billboard the size of a building out there to talk about it. And if you want to see it, I've got passes to give away, the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Cowboys and Aliens. You'll see it before it comes out next week. And if you're one of the lucky callers at 1-800-520-1067, the first three callers that get through right now, 1-800-520-1067, first three callers win a pair of passes to the advanced screening next Thursday. All right, it's time for my favorite game. Hit it, Beer Logic.
Celebrities, they love to party. How f***ed up can they get? Who's putting down the needle or drying out? It's time for Rehab Roulette.
All right, no more bets. Let's see who went into rehab. It is Grey's Anatomy star Eric Dane.
Yay!
As McSteamy, he voluntarily checked into a rehab for an addiction to painkillers. He claims that his addiction came as a result from a sports injury. He was taking painkillers for a sports injury that he had. And his representative tells People Magazine that he hopes to be back at work later this week. So, how much of an addiction could it be?
Yeah, that seems like a pretty quick rehab. Yeah. Maybe he went to that place that Dr. Drew runs down in Mexico where they basically scare the addiction out of you.
That's right. They pray it out of you. Go to one of those Christian clinics. They can teach you not to be gay and not to be addicted.
Look, I'm telling you, I, as you know, I'm an athlete, the prime of my life here, physical condition of unparalleled, but yes. I recently had a sports injury as well, so I'm not at all surprised to hear, you know, guys similar to me getting in the same sort of trouble. I mean, it just happens unless you're very, very careful. You can't hurt yourself.
How is your calf, by the way? I haven't heard an update.
I'm fine.
Really?
Totally fine. Yeah. Totally came back all the way.
So, all that crying like a baby, like a bitch that you were doing, it turns out it was nothing. It was just a little bit of a pulled muscle.
It, I mean, it hurt a lot, and the blood clot, if there had been one, could have killed me. But
you didn't
otherwise,
have a blood clot. No, you had a pulled muscle.
Right.
Oh, I'm scared. Oh, I gotta go to the doctor. Oh, the doctor says it doesn't look good. Oh, I shouldn't travel. Oh.
What a mo. I was just being
cautious.
You're such a pansy.
I'm just saying, I identify with where McDruggy is coming from.
R. Kelly won't be singing for a while. He was complaining the other day of a severe sore throat. And they had to rush him to the hospital. That's how bad that it got. Turned out that he had an abscess on one of his tonsils.
Ugh.
So they had to have emergency surgery and drain that abscess. He is out of the hospital now, but there's no way of knowing when he'll be able to sing again. So they have to wait and see how he recovers. He just came off of the U.S. leg, of his Love Letter tour. Doctors recommended that he no longer pee on anybody. It has nothing to do with his condition. They just don't think he should do that. So I think it's a good idea. Fran Drescher's new sitcom, Happily Divorced, on TV Land is quite the success. Huh. Fran Drescher plays a woman who's divorced from her husband, who turns out was gay. This is based on her true life story of her husband that she divorced when it turns out he was gay after 20 years.
And they're a very good friend still, and as I understand, they did the publicity together to talk about the relationship and what it was like and the stuff that they're using to base the show on.
If you were married to Fran Drescher, I don't care who you are, if you were married to Fran Drescher for 20 years, you would turn out gay, too. That, by the end of it, you would be gay. Anyway, TV Land announced yesterday that they are renewing the show for a second season. So she's already got a renewal on that. Only a couple episodes have aired, but it's already a huge, huge success.
Well, and how could you not want Fran Drescher on your TV? Come on.
And what do you get for the woman that has made you $500 million? That was the question that Warner Brothers CEO Barry Meyer had to ask when he wanted to buy a nice little gift to J.K. Rowling for writing all those Harry Potter books and for making his movie company a lot of money. He picked out a little gift for her. It's a little trinket, something her to remember Warner Brothers by. An antique white gold bracelet featuring 40 large diamonds that is worth millions of dollars.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
Yeah. That comes right out of the budget, doesn't it, for the next film? Someone's going to pay for that in the long run.
That's nice.
While we're talking about Harry Potter, Ralph Fiennes is talking about his role as Lord Voldemort. He says that the worst part about shooting was the costume. It was an irritating costume to wear. He said it was too long, and I sometimes would trip over it. And the tights kept dropping between my thighs. This made it very hard to walk with any kind of dignity. He said the only solution was a garter belt. You know what a garter belt is? That's what chicks wear to keep up their stockings.
Used to, yeah.
It's like a belt, and it's got little clips on it. They still do, Lisa, when the mood is right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, the good one's still wearing. You know what I'm saying? He said that was the solution. Kept his tights up, and he was wearing a garter belt under his robe. That makes Lord Voldemort considerably less threatening, I think, when you know he's wearing women's underwear underneath his robe.
I agree.
So cranky.
I agree. That does take some of the mystery and magic out of that character. And I'll also add this, and I'm glad you brought it up, Lisa. Maybe a little more garter belts in your life. You might have a husband. You ever think about that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, they used to wear them. Girls used to
wear
chicks still wear them.
Anymore.
Yes, they do. They
wear them. Well, yes, at night when they're with you and they've got a thing going on. But, I mean, normally they don't wear them.
Maybe you would have a thing going on if you wore them. That's what we're just trying to tell you. We're just trying to help you, Lisa. We don't want you to end up a lonely old cat lady.
Thank you so much for all your assistance.
Georgia Fox is coming back to CSI. CBS says they promoted her to a regular on the series again. She was a regular in the first 8 years of the show, and then she sort of became a recurring guest star with a lesser role for the past four, but she is back full-time now that they're retooling the show and bringing in Ted Danson as the new head of the CSI team. They're going to put her in a very prominent role again, so congratulations to her. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Doonesbury cartoonist Gary Trudeau is 63 years old today. Soccer star Brandi Chastain turns 43. Former Miss Universe, former Dorito girl, former actress, former model, Allie Landry, 38 years old today. Comedian actor Robin Williams is 60. John Lovitz from Saturday Night Live fame is 54. Josh Hartnett turns 33 years old today. Cat Stevens, who was a very popular singer in the 70s, then he found the Muslim religion. Now he's Yusuf Islam. And I'm pretty sure he's carrying around a vest made out of plastic explosives. I think that's what he's doing.
I don't know. There's nothing to suggest that at all.
I'm pretty sure that's what he's doing. Justin Bartha, he was in Hangover 1 and 2. He is 33 years old today. And all day long, we've been celebrating the birthday
of legendary 80s icon Taco.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Put another Ritz. Different
Taco turns 55 years old today. You can take that down. You can pull that down. There we go, Mux. Good man. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Lisa, you're never going to get a husband by being sarcastic.
Thank you very much, Ralph Garman.
More stockings, less wisecracks.
Exactly. We're just trying to help. And then the attitude from this one. What are we going to do with this?
No wonder.
Tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we are going to be back at Comic-Con 2011. And I mean we, Kevin and Bean, the kings of Comic-Con, as we have been every year for the last however many years
really,
they've been doing
since
it.
20. Started, yeah.
Whatever. Since it started. We were the first. Actually, we were the first people at the first Comic-Con, which a lot of people don't realize.
Actually started it.
Ralph will be, dragging under her coattails like you do. That'll be tomorrow. We got the movie because it's Friday, and you have actually seen Captain America, Ralph. You'll be telling us about that.
I will.
Adam Sessler stops by on site. He is, of course, Sessler, not Carolla. He is with the G4, Attack of the Show. He's got a lot going on at Comic-Con this week. And actor Eric Balfour will be there from the Haven Project. Also, Adam Rogers, editor of Wired Magazine. Aziz Ansari stops by. And our old friend Kevin Smith is going to be closing out our Comic-Con coverage in the final hour tomorrow. So come on back. We'll you for an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.